You're listening to an African Elements top news story for May 4th, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Zimbabwe mandates single exam system, the hidden colonial history. The Zimbabwean government announced a massive shift in its education policy. By the year 2027, every school in the country must use the National Zimbabwe School Examinations Council system. This move effectively ends a controversial two-tier system where elite private schools preferred international Cambridge exams. Government officials maintain that this change will promote national equity and level the playing field for all students. The decision arrives at a time of deep economic reflection for the country. Lawmakers want to retain the massive amounts of foreign currency currently flowing out to international assessment boards. By mandating a single unified system, the administration hopes to redirect those funds toward improving domestic school infrastructure. Many people see this decision as a final step to decolonize the education system. However, understanding this monumental shift requires looking back at a 40-year history. The roots of the dual education system in Zimbabwe trace directly back to the colonial era of Southern Rhodesia. During this time, education served as a powerful tool for racial and social control. The colonial government explicitly divided the school system to maintain uneven power dynamics. Authorities created group of schools exclusively for white students, which received extensive funding and offered a British-aligned curriculum. Meanwhile, Group B and mission schools served African students with drastically fewer resources. After Zimbabwe gained independence in 1980, the new government declared education a fundamental human right. Leaders like Dzingai Mutumbuka, the first minister of education, and Fei Chung sparked a massive expansion in public schooling. They successfully increased secondary school enrollment from roughly 74,000 students in 1979 to over 660,000 students by the year 1990. Similar to the broader struggle for black liberation seen across the diaspora, the government sought to reclaim the minds of the youth from colonial influence. To grasp the magnitude of the upcoming changes, one must examine the specific educational structures at play. The Zimbabwean system follows the British model of secondary education. The ordinary level, commonly known as the O level, represents a four-year cycle that concludes at Form 4. At this stage, students are approximately 16 years old. Students must pass a minimum of 5 subjects, which must include English, mathematics, and science, to obtain a general certificate of education. Following the O level, successful students advance to the advanced level, or A level. This 2-year university preparatory cycle ends at Form 6, completing A level's functions as the absolute requirement for entry into local universities, and students usually focus intensely on 3 specialized subjects. Completing the lower tier also serves as the minimum requirement for entry into teacher training programs, nursing schools, and technical colleges. This rigid structure makes the national examinations the most critical gateway in a young person's life. The drive for true educational sovereignty led to a 1983 cabinet decision to localize all public examinations. Before this point, the University of Cambridge Local Examinations Syndicate managed the national exams for Zimbabwe. The government officially established ZIMSEC in 1994 through an act of parliament to take over these administrative duties. By 1995, ZIMSEC completed the localization of O-level exams under the leadership of its first director, Dr. Isaiah Sabanda. The localization effort reached its ultimate peak in 2003 when A-level exams became fully localized. This milestone officially ended the formal oversight by Cambridge over public school examinations. The historic shift aimed to eradicate colonial-era racial discrimination and make the curriculum highly relevant to the specific needs of Zimbabwean society. Despite these monumental achievements, a parallel system continued to exist in the shadows. Elite private institutions quietly maintained their direct ties to the British examination boards. Even after the national system became fully operational, many wealthy families entirely bypassed ZIMSEC. Elite private schools, primarily part of the Association of Trust Schools, abandoned the local board in favor of the Cambridge International System. Founded in 1962, the ATS consists of 66 independent, non-profit schools governed by independent boards. These institutions proudly market the Cambridge curriculum as a global passport, securing an uninterrupted path to foreign universities. By the year 2020, Zimbabwe recorded the highest number of Cambridge exam entries on the African continent, ranking 10th globally. This created a stark prestige gap within the nation. The public increasingly viewed ZIMSEC as a secondary board, reserved only for those who lacked the money for international alternatives. This dynamic mirrors the conflicting elements of Black nationalism, where efforts to build national pride frequently clash with the desire for global mobility. The dual system effectively created two different classes of citizens, separated entirely by the examinations they could afford. The government justifies the 2027 mandate by pointing to statistics that highlight a massive educational equity gap. The contrast is sharpest when comparing marginalized regions like Binga to wealthy areas like Borrowdale. Binga is a rural district facing severe poverty rates that exceed 88%. Schools in this area frequently lack basic infrastructure, including electricity, running water, and proper classroom blocks. Meanwhile, Borrowdale is a wealthy suburb in the capital city. Students there enjoy solar power, reliable internet, and access to the most expensive private education available. These differences translate directly into stark educational outcomes. Only 1% of students from the poorest quintile complete higher education, compared to 37% from the richest quintile. Furthermore, the typical pass rate for ZIMSEC ordinary level exams hovers between 30 and 35%. In striking contrast, elite private schools boast Cambridge pass rates ranging from 90 to 99%. Students in rural areas sometimes walk 10 kilometers just to attend classes under trees, while their urban peers prepare for exams with private healthcare and specialized tutors. The infrastructure gap exists largely because of systemic national underfunding. The national education budget consistently falls below the 20% threshold recommended by the Dakar framework. Currently, there is a massive national deficit of approximately 3,000 schools. This severe shortage forces local communities to create makeshift classrooms in abandoned garages or former community halls. Rural schools suffer from a massive shortage of qualified teachers due to incredibly low compensation and highly unfavorable working conditions. The economic barrier plays a significant role in the ongoing crisis. A 2022 UNICEF report revealed that nearly 50% of children were out of school. Many families simply cannot afford the supposedly low-cost fees associated with the public system, let alone the necessary transportation costs. Less than 1% of the federal education budget actually goes toward teaching materials. This severe lack of funding leaves rural students completely without textbooks, forcing them to rely heavily on the very examination system that the government is trying to unify. Primary and Secondary Education Minister Torere Aimoyo announced the monumental policy shift in May 2026. He declared that the law requires every learner in Zimbabwe to sit for ZIMSEC exams by 2027. Minister Moyo framed this move as a strict constitutional requirement. He cited Section 75 of the 2013 Constitution, arguing that the law explicitly demands one national curriculum examined solely by ZIMSEC. The government insists that a sovereign nation must have a unified assessment framework to guarantee national cohesion. The new policy does not outright ban the Cambridge system. Instead, it aggressively demotes the international board to a secondary option. Schools that wish to offer Cambridge exams must now apply for special government permission. Furthermore, school administrators must officially justify how their students will manage two different syllabi simultaneously without suffering a drop in academic performance. This directive creates a difficult double-testing environment. Students in private schools will have to take the national exams first to satisfy the law, before attempting the international ones. Minister Moyo interprets the Constitution as a clear mandate for uniform national educational standards. Section 75 guarantees the right to a basic state-funded education, which officials use to justify the end of the two-tier parallel structure. The government intensely argues that this educational divide reinforces class divisions and drains vital foreign currency from the national economy. This intense struggle over jurisdiction echoes deeper conversations about state versus nation-centered power, where central authorities seek to unify standards over powerful independent entities. Legal critics and concerned parents offer a vastly different perspective. They argue that the exact same constitutional section explicitly protects the right to establish independent educational institutions. Critics believe this legal protection should naturally include the right to choose an appropriate curriculum and examination board. The mandate essentially commands public confidence through harsh legislation. Consequently, the massive logistical burden falls heavily on the parents, who face the terrible prospect of paying double examination fees to maintain their international options. The absolutely largest obstacle facing the 2027 mandate is the issue of public trust. The National Examination Board has suffered from a severe credibility crisis for well over a decade. A 2026 Transparency International study identified deep-rooted corruption within the Zimbabwean education sector. The board repeatedly fails to secure its examination papers, leading to widespread and devastating malpractice. In the year 2022 alone, ZIMSEC had to cancel nearly 5,000 results due to extensive paper leaks distributed widely through social media platforms like WhatsApp. This systemic failure causes many families to deeply doubt the reliability of the national system. While international bodies like UK ENIC officially recognize ZIMSEC qualifications as equivalent to British standards, parents fear the persistent leaks undermine the overall value of the degrees. Supporters of the government reform strongly argue that the mandate restores dignity to the national system. Conversely, opponents point out that forcing students into a heavily compromised system does nothing to improve educational quality. They stress that true equity requires completely addressing the root causes of national corruption. To directly address the credibility crisis, the government introduced the Zimbabwe School Examinations Council Amendment Bill in 2024. This aggressive legislation shifts the focus from simple administrative penalties to incredibly severe criminal deterrence. The proposed bill includes a mandatory 9-year prison sentence for anyone convicted of leaking a national examination paper. Additionally, authorities will subject schools found with compromised security to immediate deregistration as authorized examination centers. The government is also investing heavily in advanced security measures to protect the integrity of the tests. ZIMSEC recently began piloting advanced gridlock technology. This specialized system utilizes digitally sealed briefcases that hold the printed examination papers. These secure briefcases can only open remotely from a central command center at the exact time the exam begins. Furthermore, new logistical protocols require papers to remain in high-security cluster centers. Authorities will only transport the materials to individual schools on the actual morning of the exam. Officials sincerely hope these technological barriers will finally secure the broken system. The 2027 examination mandate functions as a crucial piece of a much larger national educational strategy. In the year 2024, the government confidently launched the heritage-based curriculum, meant to carry the nation forward through 2030. This new educational framework shifts the focus entirely away from rote memorization. It adopts a modern competency-based model anchored firmly in Zimbabwean culture, arts, and the sciences. The new curriculum proudly embraces the philosophical concept of Ubuntu, seeking to mold patriotic and highly productive citizens. At the secondary level, the new framework deliberately reduces compulsory core subjects from 7 down to 5. This significant reduction allows students to pursue more specialized pathway electives. The government also introduced an academic versus vocational route system. This structure actively aims to better align student skills with the actual demands of the national economy. The curriculum ultimately reflects the various, often conflicting elements of building a post-colonial identity, blending modern technical science with traditional philosophy. The fierce mandate to enforce a single exam system by 2027 represents the culmination of a massive 40-year project. The government genuinely hopes to align the nation under one cohesive standard, finally stripping away the lingering prestige of foreign assessment boards. While Zimbabwe boasts a highly impressive literacy rate, the absolute quality of that literacy remains uneven due to massive resource gaps. Policymakers strongly maintain that ending the flight to expensive foreign exams will ultimately retain vital resources within the country. The ultimate success of this bold decolonization strategy depends entirely on flawless implementation. The government must secure the examination papers, massively upgrade rural infrastructure, and completely restore public trust. As the mandate deadline approaches, families watch closely to see if the reforms will truly close the painful equity gap. The nation stands at a highly critical juncture in its educational journey. The massive effort to unify the school system represents a bold, uncompromising attempt to finalize the transition away from a fractured colonial past. Copyright African Elements,